Let's try this one first, Christy. Praise God. Well, y'all get your Bibles out this morning. And go to the book of John chapter 10. While I put my other microphone on. Praise God. Why he's getting me? That's what sons are for. In case you don't know, this is my son, Joseph. This is my wife playing the piano. My father-in-law saving me on the guitar. Family affair. Got something loose back here. All right, here we go. Y'all find John 10? Let's see if this thing. Praise Jesus. Yeah, glory to God. In case you're visitors and don't know, my father-in-law, Bill, he comes from a long line of talented people. Probably one of the most talented guitar players I know. And so when I got married and got into the Schaefer family, if you didn't play an instrument, you didn't have anything to do. You're into the house. Everybody plays. And so, I mean, it's like they got talent lying around they don't even use, you know. And it was everything I could do to just muster up enough to try to play a guitar. And so I bought a guitar because I wanted to be a part of the family. And I'd sit there and I'd always had to position myself directly across from Bill because I had to watch his fingers when he changed the chords because I didn't know any chords or anything. And so I was just learning. So I just sat there staring at his fingers all night long trying to just follow him. So for 32 years, that's how I've played. I still have to look at Bill every now and then. And of course, I have a bum finger, so I only play with three fingers. And so anybody tries to watch what I'm doing, they don't know what in the world's going on because mine doesn't work right. And so anyway, it's just a fun event to try to figure out how it all works out. My wife's got so much talent. You know, she's over here like a rearing horse in the buck and shoot just wanting to get out, you know, and I'm holding her back. So anyway, glory to God. I love country music. I was raised on it. Raised on country sunshine, happy with simple things. All right, forgive me, Lord. I'm getting way off here. All right, here we go. I'm going to finish this message today that I've been preaching for I don't know how long. It's so long. I got so many notes on it. I don't even know, where to stop. So I'm going to stop today, I think. But you know, my heart goes out to Christian people because if you read the Gospels and you read what the Bible says about we as Christians, we should be living victorious. We should be overcomers. We should be more than conquerors. We should be walking understanding that we have a revelation of the power of God on the inside of us. We should be walking different in the world. But yet, when you look across the world, and I know the media always wants to slander Christianity and wants to, you know, find the one Christian that did the worst thing in the world and tote that up as, you know, the worst guy in the world, when there's a lot of good, godly, God-fearing, God-believing grandmothers and grandfathers and, you know, fathers and husbands out there in the world that never get a story, right? Never get anything that's said about them and what God's really doing in their life. And it makes it look like those Christians, you know, we're not walking or living with any power. But then when you look at the church and you look at what's going on in the church world, you see that it's kind of like that. There's a lots and lots and lots and lots of people that claim that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of their life, but they're not really walking in any victory. Now, I'm not talking about being multimillionaires. I'm not talking about having the great success in companies and money and all this kind of stuff. I'm talking about the general things like walking in peace, walking in happiness, walking in joy, walking in a family of love and serving the Lord and having a focus and a vision in life. I'm talking about the things that really count, folks. So anyway, I started out this whole message about how we're going to get out of hell in 2012 because we just keep going around and around the same mountain. And so then it kind of branched over into the message called Eat Up with Stupid because we just keep doing the same dumb things over and over expecting a different result and we're just eat up with stupid, you know? Y'all know what I'm talking about? I don't know if that's just me or I mean, I find myself, no, Robert, why'd you do that? Why did you fall back into that trap? Why did you let the enemy goad you into that? And boy, you're mad now and why'd you do that? You know? I just eat up with stupid, just keep doing it again. And so I don't want that anymore. I want us to live in victory. I want us to get there, a revelation. And so I've been preaching. I preached for so long on this. The three things you have got to understand. And I was thinking about this morning. I said, Lord, I want to end this message. I hate to quit preaching on it because I don't know if they got it or not. So I'm going to just briefly touch on it one more time before I finish it, because I want to make sure you got it. The first thing you've got to have in your life, listen, the first revelation you have got to have in your life is you got to understand who you are. If you do not understand that the Bible says that you are a new creature, you are born again, you are washed in the blood of Jesus, that you have been redeemed, that you are a saint. Look at the person beside you and said, hello, saint. You say, well, I don't really feel like a saint. Listen. You say you don't feel like a saint. I don't care what you feel like. It doesn't make any difference. It's what the Bible says. Too many of us, we live our lives based upon feelings. Well, I don't feel like God loves me. What's that? Well, I just don't feel loved. Well, what? What do you mean? You're not basing your life upon the Word of God and what the Word says? You're basing your life on how you feel? Folks, listen to me. I want to tell you, young people, listen to me. Live right now. Because after you get to be 50, it turns into hell, man. It's just like getting up every morning trying to get out of bed. You think, oh, no, it's not. I'm telling you, every old football injury you got right now is magnified a million times. It's like, I wish I'd have never played sports. I wish I'd have laid around. What in the world was I thinking? My foot hurts every morning. My head hurts. This hurts. That hurts. This is why I got this microphone. I can't hold my shoulders up anymore. Can't hold the microphone. Got to get it one that hangs on my ear. Ain't nothing wrong with it. Except it don't hear too good. But as far as functionality, it works good just to hang something on. Hadn't got so droopy I can't get anything hung on. It just falls off or something. Hadn't quite got to that place yet, but it will come. There you go, brother. But you see what I'm saying? You got to know who you are. You can't live by feelings. I can't wake up in the morning and say, oh, well, I don't feel like I'm loved today. Lord, have mercy. You're not going to even get out of bed. You got to know and live your life by knowing what the Word of God says about you. And then because you know who you are in life, then you can have dominion over your life. And you can walk in victory. And you can speak the Word of God over your life. And you live by what the Word of God says, not by what you feel. The second thing that we talked about what's the first revelation you got to know? Who you are. Look at the person beside you today. You got to know who you are. Come on, look at the person on the other side. You got to know who you are. One more time. You got to know who you are. That's the first revelation. You got to know who you are. You're not a lowly worm of the dust. You're a son of God, born again. God loved you so much He sent Jesus out of heaven for you. Right now, there's an innumerable multitude of angels perched in heaven saying, come on, God, let me go down and get the redeemed. Let me go get the saints. Let me go get them, Lord. Don't let them stay down there in that old nasty fallen world anymore. All of heaven's chomping at the bit to come get you. It's not time yet, though. It's like cooking a good pot of stew. It just, you can't rush it. Cooking a pot of beans, you want to eat them, but you can't. You got to wait. It's got to get done. God's got to get to the point to where it's done, but all of heaven is poised, sitting there, just perched, wanting to just come and, man, I'm talking angels and swords and whacking heads and coming down to take you home. All of heaven sitting there ready to defeat every devil in hell for you. You wake up in the morning and say, well, I don't feel like anybody loves me. You're mistaken. You have let your feelings and your flesh and your emotions rule your life, and we can't live by our emotions. We have to live our life by what the Word of God says. Amen? I could just preach and stay right here, but I got to go on. Second thing you have got to know is you have got to know why you're here. You got to know who you are, but you got to know why you're here. You are not here on this earth to live your life just to build your kingdom here on this earth and try to enjoy this earth as much as you can. You're here in this earth to worship God. You're here on this earth to be a mouthpiece and a vocal piece of God on this earth to all the others around that don't know Him. So you got to know who you are, but you got to know why you're here. Listen to me, folks. You are living not for here. You're living for eternity. But here's the test. Here on earth. What you're doing now affects eternity. Hear me? You cannot make wealth on this earth and take it with you, but you can certainly send it ahead. I can guarantee you the Word of God says that what you do with your finances on this earth affects what happens for you in heaven and what's waiting for you in heaven. Do you believe me? Y'all looking at me like a cow going through a new gate this morning. Y'all just kind of looking like, you know, you don't know if you believe me or not. It was really hot a while ago, and I got the air coming on now to kind of cool you off so that y'all can stay with me here and don't go to sleep. But Lord, have mercy. Come on, folks. This is exciting, good news here. I mean, my God, y'all look like I told you something bad. I'm telling you something good. I'm telling you, that change you put in the offering a while ago, that change you put in the offering a while ago is going to rescue a child's life. The other day, listen to me. Let me just tell you something. Pastor has bad days too. And I was having a bad day the other day. I didn't feel like putting one more foot in front of the other. That's how I felt. But I wasn't going to go on my feelings. But dadgum, I quoted some word and spoke some word to myself and tried to pull myself up by the boots. And I just wasn't getting anywhere. So I called my buddy, Brother Ivan. I said, Ivan, tell me why today. I don't want to talk about nothing. I don't want no counseling. I don't want you to tell me nothing. I said, I want you to tell me today why I should keep putting one foot in front of the other. That's all I want to hear from you. He paused for a minute, chuckled on the other end of the phone. He said, I'll tell you why. Because Gabe is going to go be an airline pilot. Because Monica, who we found on the streets, is having that operation the 1st of March, and she's going to walk, and she'd have never walked. She'd have died. I want to tell you why you got to keep going, Robert, because Jessica is going to have the surgery that she needs. That Lucia, who was literally thrown into the dump and they found her in the trash heap, is going to be a psychologist and wants to come back here to the orphanage and help the other children. And I said, Brother, you don't have to say another word. You don't have to say another dadgum word. I am fired up now. Thank you for getting my focus straight. See, folks, you cannot live your life based upon your feelings and your emotions. You have to base your life on who you are and where you're going, because all of us didn't realize, yeah, that's right. That's right. We're blessing. We've got kids down there. Listen to me. Let me tell you the good news. Okay, I'm leaving today, and I need y'all to pray for me. I got a long week this week, but I need y'all to pray for me this week. I'm leaving after service. Bob Hannes is going with me. He's already left. He's flying on a different flight. But he left. I'm going to be leaving after church. I'm going down to Guatemala. I've got to leave here pretty quick, so I'm not even going to be at dinner on the ground, so I'm sorry. God bless y'all, but y'all have to visit without me. But I'm going to run and grab a plane, go down there. We're going to get the roof on the second part of the school, because we've already got so many kids in school. We've got to get that second part going, so we're doing that. We've gotten the money. We've got it put together, and the guys are going to be down there to get the tent on. But the exciting thing about this is we've come up with an idea. God bless Jake. He's helping us and keeps me on the right road around here with the technology. It's not going to be too long from now. You're going to be able to come up here on a Sunday morning. We're going to have it set up, and the kids are going to be down at the orphanage, and we've got an internet set up where they'll come over their faces live onto the screens, and we're going to be able to have a conversation with them. You're going to get to see them alive right there talking and what's going on down there, and they're going to get to talk to you, and you're going to get to talk to them. And you're going to see them, and it's going to make a difference in your life. Because when you see it, it changes your life. That's all I needed to hear that day, and I picked myself up and said, that's right, man, what am I talking about? I got things, man, we're rescuing kids. We're going to save them. I got to stay on this earth and alive just to fight the devil off and rescue some more kids. I got to stay alive and keep fighting and keep my head on straight, just because, bless God, there's got to be one more kid rescued. One more. If we get one more that's not going to know the horrors of hell that's on this earth out there. Not one more person going to be thrown into the dumps. Not one more person going to be raped or molested like that. They're going to be able to live their lives in victory. Whew, man, they're going to get a school. They're going to get a house. They're going to get food. They're going to get somebody to take care of them, somebody to love them. I want to tell you something. I live for that. Y'all with me? You got to know where you're going in life. When I get onto the other side, I want to see them all. I see them all now, but I'm talking about what they're going to do and what they're going to affect and whose lives they're going to touch and who they're going to help. And they're going to be able to stand up there with a big smile on their face because they're the happiest kids in the world. And they're going to be able to look at somebody else and say, oh yeah, I did have had a hard start in life, but bless God, God rescued me and brought me to Casa Angelina, and I got to live out my life, and this is where I'm at. Can you imagine, church? Can you imagine being found in a rubble of a trash heap? I'm talking about the thrown away, but now you're going to go to school and be a psychologist? What a testimony of what the power of God can do, amen? Amen. So you got to know who you are and where you're going. And then the last thing is you got to know who you trust. Listen to me. The Bible says don't put your trust in horses or in man, but put your trust in the Lord. Don't put your trust in horses or men, Smiths or colts. Not bad to have close. But put your trust in God. Folks, listen to me. You have to start believing God for things. You have to start believing. Listen to me. If you're in financial trouble today, you need to get a quarter and sow a quarter and believe God for an increase of your 25 cents. You've got to start believing God for miracles. You've got to start believing God for signs and wonders. You've got to start believing God in your life and trusting Him in things and quit trying to do everything in your own strength. Amen? Okay. So we talked about the mission. We talked about the mission is to rescue people, to talk to people, to get people to know Jesus, to get people to you got to take them to Jesus, okay? So now I'm just going to finish this up this morning by talking about the hindrances to the mission, okay? You're supposed to have these revelations. You're supposed to know who you are, where you're going, and who you trust. You're supposed to develop that to where then you're blessing people. You're talking to people. You're ministering to people. You're helping people find their way in life, okay? Leading them to Jesus. Everybody say, leading them to Jesus. But there's a hindrance. And here it says right here in John chapter 10, verse 10. It says, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Listen to me. You have a thief. You have somebody that is against you. You have an enemy known as the devil or Satan who wants to keep you from achieving those three revelations. He wants to stop you. He wants to trip you. He wants to put stumbling blocks in front of you. He wants you to quit. He said, well, I don't know if I believe in a devil. You're gravely mistaken. You have an enemy. You have an adversary who wants you to not succeed. And that isn't like, listen to me, it is not like the movies portray it. It is not like the battle of an epic struggle of good and bad and who's going to win. Go read Revelation 12. The devil rose up once against God and he said he threw him out, knocked him, gave him one punch, wasn't a sucker punch. He saw it coming, knocked his teeth out so hard, it hit him so hard in heaven that it knocked him plumb to earth and he fell like lightning to the ground. That's a pretty good punch. Tell me my God don't got a good right. Y'all with me? You say, oh, Pastor, go read it. You may not have ever heard it put in that text, but that's what it says. Jesus told his disciples, yeah, I was there. I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. It was a hit. Oh, pow, bam. He hit him, threw him through the floor of heaven, right on to earth is where it hit him. That's a punch. There ain't no battle. Listen to me. There is no battle between God and the devil and who's going to win. We're not waiting. It's not the Super Bowl and we're trying to see who's going to win in the last seconds. There ain't no overtime. There's nothing. He is defeated. He has been defeated. But if you listen to him, he will trip you up. He will cause you to stumble. He will cause you to make the wrong decisions in life. The thief comes except he's going to kill, steal, and destroy in your life. That's what he wants to do. He wants to keep you from knowing the word. He wants to keep you from knowing who you are. He wants to keep you from doing anything that's going to affect heaven. He wants to keep you. Listen, do you know when I'm going on this trip, prior to buying the ticket, I have to fight all of hell with just the thoughts of, well, you know, you're really busy. You know, maybe you just should send some money down there. You know, you ought to do this. Just every thought in the world that keeps me from trying to go. God wants you to do things for Him, and the devil doesn't want it done. He wants to stop. He wants to. Now I'm going to give you the three ways that He comes in. Okay, you can go look at Mark chapter 4, verse 15. It says, "These are the ones that by the wayside, where the word of God is sown, when they hear Satan, immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in their heart." You notice that when they hear the word, this is Jesus' words. This isn't my words. He says Satan comes immediately. When does he come? Well, I hate to tell you, but right after this service, actually right now, at this point that I'm sowing the word to you because you're hearing the word, the devil wants to steal it from you immediately. He doesn't want you to know it. He doesn't want you to hear this thing. I hate to tell you, but you're already in a fight. I done got you in a fight. That's why some people don't want to come to church. I've had people tell me, so, Pastor, I don't want to come to church. So why don't you want to come to church? Well, every morning we get up on a Sunday morning, man, when my wife and I, we get in a fight trying to get to church. I said, yeah, the devil doesn't want you to come to church. And then after church, it's like hell broke loose. I said, yep, that's what it's like. I said, but you know what? If you'll defeat that, if you'll learn the ways of God and you'll defeat that, and it'll stop. And you'll go ahead and have victory. And then you'll wake up on Sunday morning hungry to go to church because you've already whipped the devil and he ain't going to fight you in that area no more. But if you don't fight him, you don't win. You don't have that victory. You don't knock his teeth out. Stop it in that area, then you're not. He's going to keep after you. I saw something this morning that I had never seen. I feed these deer around my house, and there's this old doe. She's just bigger than everybody else, and I call her Big Sally. And she's been there since I bought the property. And old Big Sally, she's a big old heifer, you know. I mean, she's not the size of a normal deer. I don't know, she's got a little northern in her or something. I don't know why she's so big. But she's just a big old doe, and we call her Big Sally. And so Big Sally rules the roost around there, although she's not, deer have pecking orders. Although she's not the top of the pecking order, she kind of just rules the roost. And so my daughter's big white Pyrenees dog has decided to come up to my house. And so it's been coming up there and staying and has terrorized all the cats and terrorized everything, you know. And so the deer have been scared. But this morning I walked outside and that dog, big old dog, I mean, this is about a 2.5-year-old Pyrenees dog, you know, looks like a snow beast is what I call it, you know. Pure white with just hair all over the place. And it comes bounding off the porch to go out with me while I was going to feed the deer. And they usually run everywhere, tails up. And this morning, old Big Sally, I guess she just had enough. She's like, I'm not putting up with you anymore, dog. And so all the other deer ran, and Big Sally stopped, and she looked at that dog, and she didn't even stomp her foot. She just put her head down, and she started walking towards it. And the dog looked like, what's up with you? You know, you just see the face of that dog. Was like, this is unusual. It's not right. And so I just walked on a little bit, and I said, well, the big Pyrenees' dog is named Princess. I said, well, Princess, meet Big Sally. And so you're going to see she stopped like, all right, you've got to be joking. And so she took a few more steps, and old Big Sally just come at her. And she just jumped, run back on the porch. I said, way to go, dog. I mean, the deer is more aggressive than my dog is here. You know, it's one of those dogs that if you could get trained to just like pounce and bark and run and growl, that it would throw fear into anybody. But she just sits there. Anyway, sometimes you got to get like Big Sally. You got to change the tide. That dog looks like it's the biggest, baddest one. But when she stepped towards it, that's it. Went back on the porch. Listen to me. The devil wants to come in there. He wants to steal your thoughts. He wants to steal the vision. He has an opportunity to do this because your heart is too cluttered up with things. It says the seed fell on the wayside. Listen to me. Church, you've got to get priorities straight in your life. You've got to get the Word as being your top priority in life, getting sown in your heart. And don't let it get cluttered up with all the other things in life. When you get cluttered up that I'm mad at so-and-so, or they didn't do right, or this isn't right, or that's going to happen, or this is going to be there, or whatever here is going to happen, this is going to be there, and your heart gets all cluttered up, it gets hard. And when it gets hard, the Word falls on it, and it's easy for the devil to steal it. That's the first way. That's the first way he comes in and steals things from your heart. That's your first hindrance. That's what he's going to do. He says he's going to steal it that way. The second one you find in Matthew 16, verses 21 through 23. It says, "And from that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and to be killed. And he'd raise him on the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you.' But he turned to him and he said, 'Peter, get behind me, Satan, for you're an offense to me, for you're not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men.'" You know, can you imagine Peter, the way he felt when Jesus referred to him as Satan? He says, "Peter, listen, get behind me, Satan." In other words, Peter's like, Jesus, he's just looking at it from a natural perspective, saying, "Jesus, he can't die. You can't die. You can't go to the cross and die. That can't be. You can't do that. That can't be. What are you talking about?" And Jesus says, "Peter, right now Satan's using you to speak through you, to talk to me, to offend me." And the word offend means to cause a stumbling block. He says, the devil is using you to be a stumbling block in my life. Now, what was the problem with Peter? How did the devil have access? Because he couldn't see the big picture. Peter was looking at it and saying, no, Lord, you're going to be here. You're going to set up your reign. You're going to live here on earth. You're going to call down fire from heaven. You're going to smoke the Romans. You're going to do this. You're going to take church. You're going to do that. He had no idea. He couldn't fit it into his picture of his mind that Jesus had to go to the cross and die, because that seemed like a defeat to Peter. Seemed like that was a loss to Peter, because he couldn't see the big picture. There's things going on in your life that you've been praying for. You're speaking command and trying to get everything to go forward. But listen to me, church. There's sometimes you don't see the big picture. The thing is, you got to be in a place of faith every day praying, "God, I just thank you that you're going to order my steps today and you're going to prepare my ways. You're going to make all the crooked paths straight. I'm just believing you and I'm trusting you and I'm going to walk and keep serving you and I'm going to walk." And even though things don't seem like they should seem, because if we all had it, we'd be walking on a life of bed of roses and chocolate fountains everywhere. Hello? We would never have an obstacle. We'd never have a hindrance. We'd never have something we had to pray and believe for and stretch for. Have you ever thought about, I don't like to, get you to looking over here because I don't want to, freak you out. But have you ever thought about that some of the little obstacles that you face in life, God wants you to really have faith in and overcome, so that because there may be a big obstacle coming down the road that he knows you're going to walk in? You say, "Well, Lord, why don't you just take all the obstacles out?" Because it's all about faith. He can say to you, "I did everything on the cross. I did everything on the cross for you." And so you've got to exercise your faith. You've got to know who you are. Why didn't you listen to Pastor Robert? You got to know who you are. You got to know where you're going, and you got to know who you trust. See, sometimes in life we don't see the big picture. Now I pray and God's with me and I'm going to walk every day. It's going to be victory. I may have to fight for victory. So let me go on. The third thing here that happens is 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. It says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." Here's this third way that the enemy has an access to come into our life and steal, because our eyes get to lusting after things. And this happens because we do not have peace and joy in our life through the Holy Spirit. And in the depravity of our own souls, we want to have peace and we want to have joy. I have never found a person on this earth yet who does not want peace and does not want joy. But we think we're going to get joy, and we get deceived, and we think we're going to find it through cocaine. We think we're going to find it through alcohol. We think we're going to find it through, you know, whatever source it would be that we're looking to bring us peace and joy. But they're all looking for peace and joy. We're all looking for the same thing. But when you look at it for in the world, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the pride of flesh, it's all going to get into you, and it's going to come in there, and it's going to steal from you, because that's what the devil's trying to do. Because the real source of peace is the real source, God. The real source of joy is that relationship with Him. You're with me. So, I got to tell you, what are we going to do? Okay, what are we going to do? We got hindrances. I told you got hindrances. I told you who the person causing the hindrances. So what does the Bible tell us to do then? Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's look at it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Now, I know I've tried to preach this before and tried to explain this before, but you've got to understand something about the kingdom of God. God doesn't, although the Bible, although we look at God and say God moves in mysterious ways, it's only mysterious to us. It's only a, because we don't understand. Okay? It's us who says that. God's not mysterious. He doesn't want to be mysterious. He wants to be found by everybody. He wants everybody to know the truth. All right? God didn't hide Himself from us. But you got to understand something. All of the promises of God come with conditions. People don't understand that. All the promises of God comes with conditions. Like, for instance, you can pray for God to prosper you. But the Bible says unless you give, it doesn't activate the promise of prosperity. It says give and it shall be given unto you. You have to give in order to get. We don't give to get. We give, we live to give. But the promise has a condition with it. If you want to be forgiven, the Bible says you're supposed to forgive people. If you want salvation, you have to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. You have to do something. You have to activate it in order to have the promise. Are y'all following me on this? There's a condition to it. If you don't do your part, it don't happen. God said, it's all yours. Just do this and it'll happen. Let me give you an example of this. I had never up to about 6 months ago ever been to an ATM machine. All right? There's something about it I don't like. I just don't trust it. I don't know why. Just go up there, it just don't seem natural. I want to see somebody. I want to, you know, I mean, I'm like the kind of person, I want to write out a check. I want to see my account. Let me see my account. Yeah, that's my account. Yeah, I can see some money in there. Take it out of there. Give it to me. You know, I mean, I want this kind of a relationship because that's all I know. And to just go up to some unfriendly machine sitting out there with a little camera looking at me, it just don't feel right. Anyway, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm just saying, you know, pastor kind of got a hang up here. So anyway, I'm driving and I need some money. And my wife said, pull right there in that ATM. And I said, I don't know how to work the thing. And so I started literally to take the car and turn it around and back it in so it'd be on her side. So she said, Robert, that's ridiculous. Get up there. Let me teach you how to work an ATM machine. So I'm like, Lord, have mercy. So I get up there. I'm staring at this thing. And so, you know, I'm like, got one hand on my pistol. I'm ready to shoot this thing any minute because I just know something's going to jump out and get me. But anyway, so I'm looking at this thing, and the screen on it had a number pad on it, and it had writing over on the side, and it was trying to instruct you what to do. But I thought the screen was like a touch pad, you know. I had never looked over about, you know, 3/4 of an inch. It was a long ways off that there was an actual push-button keypad. And so my wife tells me, well, put the card in, do this, and I enter the number, and I push the number, and I said, it don't work. See, I told you. See, we all out there. I stuck the card in there, and probably stole all the money out of our credit card right now. That's something not right. She said, well, just punch the numbers right there on the keypad. I said, I do it, and I'm punching the numbers. Ain't nothing happening. Finally, she said, let me see. What are you doing? And she leaned over and got in there, and she said, oh, Robert.
There's the keypad.
I was punching this piece of glass over here. Okay. Sweet Jesus, you know. It's just like the promises of God. It hit me when I did this. That so many times in life, the promise is right there. And she understood how to make that promise happen of getting the money out if you put the card in there and it's going to work out. But I didn't know how to work the promise. I didn't know how to get it out. And so I was willing to just go away and not tap into what could have been mine. Are y'all with me? And I could have just walked off and said, I don't understand that thing. I ain't going to do it. Ain't nobody going to do it. And gone out there and just throwed a fit and not ever received what I needed. And that's what we do. We pray and something happens in the kingdom of God and it didn't go like we thought. And so then we say, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what to do. I don't know. That's just too spooky. I ain't going there. Raise my hands and, you know, pray. Oh, God, I don't know. Ah! And we don't receive the promise and we think it's the fault of the machine. That machine was perfectly good. It was the operator that was in error. Hello? So the promises of God come with a condition. Now, this is the condition to this promise. If you want to beat the devil at the game of him trying to cause you to stumble, this is what you have to do. 1 Peter 5:6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all of your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that at the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in all the world. He says, if you want to win this battle, you have to resist. How many of you have ever tried to go on a diet until you declare you're not going to eat anything sweet? And you're strong for about the first 15 minutes. And then just the sheer fact in your mind you said you weren't going to do it seems like to conjure every demon in hell up it. To want it. And then everywhere you go, you're just, oh. Can't think of anything else. Your whole mind, that's all you can think of is eating a stupid cookie. Are y'all with me? Are y'all with me here? Am I right? I'm preaching good now. Come on, I'm telling you, that's the way it works. And the only way to do it is you have to resist it. Y'all can say what you want to, but I have found the greatest deal. I get the cookie. I bring the cookie. I smell the cookie. I look at the cookie. I make my... And I say, you ain't eating that cookie. And I throw it away. That's what I do. I torture myself, man. I say, you want some more? Huh? You want some more of this? Come on. You want some more? I have literally gotten a bowl of ice cream, put the whole ice cream down, set it out in front of me, looked at the ice cream, smelled the ice cream, got down there, got rid of it. Because you have to resist. The temptations the devil is going to throw on you, it's going to be there and it's going to be real and it's going to be alive and you're going to smell it, you're going to taste it, you're going to want to go for it. But unless you resist it, unless you take a position of resistance, I want to tell you something, you're going to be defeated. I know that the promise of God says resist it and it'll flee. Listen, let me give you another scripture. James 4:7. Therefore, submit to God, resist. Again, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Huh. You got to resist him, and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, your joy into gloom, and humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Got to resist. If you want the promise to happen and come into your life of having victory in your life, you have to resist the devil. Not just put him in a drawer, because you might want to use him later. Now, what's funny about that word resist, if you look it up in the Greek, it means to stand against, to oppose, to resist, to withstand. All right? Now let's go to another scripture, Ephesians chapter 6. Let me show you this. Hang with me just a little bit longer. I'm almost getting through. These are these hindrances. The devil's going to do it. He's going to come to you. He's going to tempt you. He's going to try to get you to fall. He's going to try to get you to quit. He doesn't want you to fulfill your mission. He doesn't want you to be who you are in life. He wants you to just be living for yourself. He wants you to do it, and he's going to put everything in the world in front of you to do it. And the only way you're going to beat him is to resist him. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, that's you, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now I want to stop right there for just a second. If a thought's going through your mind right now that, you know, well, I love pastors, I like to come churchy, funny, I like that guy. You know, I just don't know about this devil stuff. I don't know if that's just really, you know, what he's saying is really, if it's really that big of a deal, I don't know if he's really. First of all, I want you to understand that the Apostle Paul, I got it from him. So I'm agreeing with Paul, or you're disagreeing with Paul. This is not some Robert Richards doctrine. That's not some Pentecostal doctrine. It's not some New Age, charismatic, whatever, doctrine you want to come up. This is Bible. Hello? This is Bible talk. So the Bible says, what the Apostle Paul said. But I want you to see something here, because I'm telling you, church, this changed my way of thinking, because it jumped out off this page the other day and hit me square between the eyes. He says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Now, having done all to stand therefore. Now, I got to looking up, I noticed that, and I just noticed withstand and stand. So I went to the Webster's Dictionary just because I wanted to make sure that I wasn't just making something up. And in the Webster's Dictionary, the word to stand, it means to support oneself on the feet in an erect position. Okay, you know, right? You're not sitting, you stand. It's a position. It also means to rise to an erect position. It also means to take up or maintain a specified position or posture. And then it means it maintains one position because you stand firm, okay? But if you notice, let me read the definition to you of Webster's Dictionary of withstand. Withstand means to stand up against, to oppose firmly. Determination, especially to resist successfully. To be proof against, to resist the effect of. To stop or obstruct the course of something. To withstand. It's a different word. He says your job, according to Ephesians 6, is to stand. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Your job is to just take up the erect position in opposition against what the enemy's doing. And as you take that position, then God says, oh, okay, now I can put the armor of God on you that will cause you to withstand the enemy. In other words, God wants you to take the position to stand, and then he said, I'll come into your life, flood into your life, and I will be with you, and we will withstand the enemy. The problem is, most diets, since I'm on that subject, is that we're trying to do it based upon our willpower and our strength. And you know how little you have when you see what happens. Hello. You're trying to do everything based upon your strength and your willpower. You're trying to do your marriage by your willpower and your strength. You're trying to do your job by your strength and your power. You're trying to do everything in life, your relationships and all this by your strength and your power. And God said, I didn't require you, and I'm not calling you to do it upon your strength and power. I'm calling you to just take a firm position against, to come up and stand erect and let me arm you. And when I arm you, then you and I will then withstand the enemy and have victory. But if you don't submit to me, you don't humble yourself before me, you don't take that stance of resisting, if you're sitting there saying, oh, I can do this, you're defeated. If that's your position, saying, oh, you know, I can do this, you're defeated already. You say, well, Pastor, I take pride that I'm a strong person. I can do things like that. I'm not trying to diminish that at all. I'm just saying you're not going to have any real victory in life because there's going to be another obstacle that's going to come down the road that you can't handle. And when you'll rise up and say, look, okay, devil, I am sick of messing with you. I ain't going to listen to you no more. I'm not going back down that road. I'm going to live a holy life. I want to live a pure life. I'm not going to go down that road. I am going to take a position, a stance against you. Then God says, okay, they did their part. They're resisting. So now here I come. And the promise begins to work. Power begins to come in your life. Victory begins to come in. Look what it says here in Ephesians 6. It says, what happens to the person that puts on is, take on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you will extinguish or quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this, with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I would open my mouth boldly to take known the mysteries of the gospel, which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. He said, when you, the Apostle Paul's talking to the church at Ephesus, when you guys rise up and put on the armor of God, and begin to let God use you to withstand the enemy, then I have an open door to go out and preach. You hear what I'm saying? Listen to what he said. He said, when you do your part, God comes into you and starts solving, helping you fix and solve the things going on in your life. And Paul says, then I'm going to go and I'm going to continue to preach the gospel. The mission. About what we've been talking about, the mission, going out and helping somebody, going out and preaching the gospel, going out and telling people. See, the enemy is always going to be there, church. He's always going to try to cause you to stumble. Listen, I don't care how you pray it, he is not going to go away. You know, you don't like what's going on in the world right now. All we can do is gather together and change it. But let me tell you something. If you think that it'll just go away, it won't. And there's always somebody worse than's there now. You with me? You have to know what you want to do in life. You have to see it determined. You have to have a plan and a vision of what you're going to go do. And the enemy's going to hinder you until you defeat him in those areas. You want to have success. You have to stand up. You have to resist. You have to submit yourself to God and then watch how God begins to empower you, begins to move in your life, begins to do victorious things in life, begin to see. It's a great place to be in an humble position. Humble doesn't mean beat down. Listen, let's get this straight. Humble does not mean to be beat down. Doesn't mean to let you're a doormat and the world runs over you. Humble means that you're not standing here like this saying, God, I think I can do this one. I don't need you. Humble means you're looking and say, God, if you're not with me, it's going to be a disaster. Have you ever laid in bed at night and you can't sleep and then you start listening to yourself breathe? And then all of a sudden you catch yourself in this position that you don't seem like you can breathe because you're thinking about how you're breathing. Has that ever happened to anybody? You need to experience this if you've ever done that. Am I the only lunatic in the building? All of a sudden it's like you can't. You were just breathing normal. Now all of a sudden you're taking over and you're making yourself breathe. And you're like, and then you're like, you can't, it doesn't seem like it's working. You know, if you just don't get control of yourself, you'll hyperventilate. Are y'all with me? What happened? Your body is working in a natural state that it's supposed to, it works. I can't explain it all, but however the brain sends signals to the muscles and things are just working and you don't have to think about breathing. But the moment you begin to try to think about breathing, you get everything all messed up. Kind of the same way with God. The moment you get involved and you're not humbling yourself before God and saying, God, I got to have you move in this situation. God, I have you do this. And you get in the middle of it, then all of a sudden you got the thing messed up. And now nothing's functioning right. Now everything's out of whack. And what we tend to do as people, when we get things out of whack, instead of just at that point going to God and trying to get it fixed, then we try to fix it then, and then we just get it more out of whack. You with me? It's like, you know, trying to fix a TV that had fuzz in those days. You know, and you went over and you started messing the ears and you started putting tinfoil on everything. And then before long, you got it more messed up than it was before. You were over there messing and jacking with you. You just left it alone. It might have come back, but you got over there and got to messing with it. Now it's in worse shape than it was before you started. Some of y'all have no earthly idea what I'm talking about. But those of you that do, say, amen, we know what you're talking about. We've been there. They should have never put those knobs on televisions in those days. Although the other day I got mine off of its channel, I didn't think I'd ever get that thing back on. It's the stupidest thing in the world. Just about to drag it outside and just shoot it and just say, that's it. I can't take you no more. No patience with you. I've gone through and click and click and get this controller, try that one, try this one, try this one. Let's don't live our lives with God like that. Let's do it like the Bible says. Follow His plan. And when we follow His plan, you know what will happen? You'll see God moving in your life. Amen? Amen. Well, put your Bibles up and stand to your feet if you would. Church, everybody say resist.
Resist.
Say, I'm going to resist. Look at the person beside you and say, start resisting. Now I want to believe. I want to pray for you. I want to pray over the food for dinner on the grounds. And matter of fact, right now, let me go ahead and have my prayer team and pastoral team come on down this morning. Who's going to be here to pray? And y'all come on down while I'm going to pray over everything. And like I said, I'm sorry I'm not going to be able to be over with you. I've got to be at the airport here shortly. And y'all pray for me this week. Be down there and Bob too. And just pray for me that we can see everything we need to see and do everything we need to do. Amen. Rescue another kid for Jesus. Build another spot, one more place, one more bed, one more whatever, you know. It's the only way I know to do it, church. You know, I've always wanted all my life just for somebody to walk up and just hand me $2 million and say, here, Robert, go do it. But it always comes in just $100 at a time, whatever. We just keep building and building on what comes in, and that's what it is. That's how it works. You know, for years we just talked about trying to get people to give me just $1 a day, you know, $365 a year to support an orphan. And miracles and miracles and miracles have been done with that money. And those of you that are still doing that and sending that money in, you know, I mean, man, you just can't believe what kind of reward you're going to have in heaven over that. And I know there's a lot of good things in life out there, but this is what God called us to do. This is what we do as a church. But I want to tell you something. Church, listen to me. You're valuable and you're important. And I want to see you live in 2012 in victory. I want to see y'all grab hold of the revelations of what I've been talking about this, and let the Spirit of God birth it in you and see things go on. So you have victory. And if you feel like the devil's got you by the tail, well then resist him and tell him to get off your tail. Get your tail back. Be like old Big Sally. Run that dog off. He may look big, but if you run at him, he'll leave. And greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. Amen? So church, I want to ask you here this morning, all those of you listening by radio, those of you who are watching on video, if you're in here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life, if you die today, you don't for sure that you'd go to heaven. You just don't really know. You just kind of are here. God's brought you here this morning to listen to this broadcast or watch it or church just to give you an opportunity to meet him. I'm not trying to get you to join the church. That's not what it's about. It's about meeting Jesus. He's the one that'll change your life and set you free. And so, church, it's real simple. Remember I told you every promise has a condition. The promise of salvation comes with you confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So if you're in here today or if you're watching by video and you want to do that for the very first time, I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. And I want to ask you to give your life to Jesus, because I tell you, you'll never be ashamed. So with all your heads bowed in here, and just give everybody a little privacy around you, if you're in here and you don't know Jesus and you want to pray with me, I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray with you right there at your seat. Just lift up your hand and say, yeah, Pastor, that's me. I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life today for the very first time. Just lift up your hands. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Today's your day. You know it. You want to be right. Anyone else? Well, if you lifted your hand, if you're out there watching today, you're listening by radio, pray with me right now and confess with your mouth and believe in your heart in Jesus. Say, Jesus, today, I give you my life. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for me. And I believe you today to wash my sins away. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, everyone, look at me. You prayed that prayer today for the very first time. Listen to me. All of heaven's yours. You started out on a good foot in 2012. If you're out there listening by video or watching by video, listening by radio, you know, send me an email. Let me know what's going on in your life. Let me hear from you. But church, take the hand of the person beside you. Look at them and say, resist. Look at them again and say, you can do it. Amen. Now, Father, bless them today. As we leave, Lord, those that need prayer this morning, I thank you they're going to come down. They're going to come up front for prayer. We're here to pray with them. And I thank you for your miracles, signs, and wonders. I thank you, Lord, for blessing this church today. And as these people leave and go out into the world, the Lord, they're empowered to get out of hell in 2012. They're empowered, Lord God, to walk in your authority in their lives. God, I just thank you for this revelation sticking on the inside of them, that they will not forget it. They will not be defeated. But they'll know who they are. Lord God, they'll know why they're here. And they'll know in whom they trust, Lord. And the hindrances of this life as we resist will fall to the ground as nothing. So, Lord, we give you praise for it. Now, Lord, bless all the food over dinner on the grounds. Bless all the time and the conversation. Just let us make new friends today. And, Lord, we give you praise for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Hey, God bless you, church.